So, the goodness of God. I'm just going to go through. So, yeah, I've titled this, the title of the talk, actually, is Seeing the Goodness of God. But I'll explain why it says that the goodness of God, a personal testimony. We can't talk about the goodness of God without making it personal. It's impossible. David says, taste and see that the Lord is good. John says, these things which we have seen, which we have heard, and which our hands have handled. That refers to an experiential thing, something that you have experienced and you're willing to convey to somebody else. The goodness of God is not abstract. It can be abstract for those who do not believe in God. But if you believe in God, you should be able to explain to someone else confidently why God is good. And if you can't do that, then perhaps at the end of this talk, you'll be able to reflect on your life and consider the goodness of God and the things he's done for you. To that end, my talk would be a very personal one. You're going to hear stories about me, and hopefully that will lead us into an understanding of how God has been to me. Right. So, the outline for my talk is that I would like to talk briefly about the goodness and blessings of God. Now, it's easy to talk about how good God is when things are good. You know what I mean? When you've got the wife, you've got the kid, you've got the nice house, you've got the job, you know, you've got everything going for you. But what about when things aren't going well? Is God still good? A famous philosopher once said that pain and suffering would make atheists of men. Pain and suffering. If you go out there to the universities, if you go to, you know, to the field of philosophy and talk to people about God, the first thing they say to you is, how can God be good in an evil world? And so I would like to talk briefly also about, well, what about when things aren't going well? Is God still good? And then we would conclude with the response. So let's just get into it straight away. God's goodness. There are three areas of my life I would like to talk about the goodness of God. The first one is God's goodness has given me purpose, hope, and meaning. That might sound quite abstract, but I'll explain. He's been a help in time of trouble. And finally, I'll talk about the blessings he's endowed on me in the course of my life. The first one, purpose, hope, and meaning, is quite important because for you to understand how big a deal this is for me, you've got to know about my past. So I come from a family that's a high-performing academic family. My mom is here. So, I mean, my mom was a lecturer. She taught before going into business and civil service and the like. Same with my dad. They met in the university. I've got a PhD. There are two PhDs in my family. There's another doctor in my family. My mom's brother's wife is a doctor, a PhD. His daughter is also a PhD. I mean, we are high-flying academics. But it wasn't always this way for me. See, in 1999, I got into the university, 98, 99, and I was pretty smart, let's put it that way. Got into university, first year, smashed it. But then in my second year, things went down the drain. I kind of lost touch with my academics, and I really started messing up in school. Now, some of us who are young here might be able to relate to this. I got involved with things I shouldn't have gotten involved with, and my grades tanked. And for someone who's from a family where academic excellence is important, for someone whose anchor was my performance, my academic performance, this affected my mind seriously. It affected my self-worth. It affected how I looked at myself. You know, I began to see myself as a failure because I wasn't doing well academically until I met Jesus. It sounds so cheesy, but honestly, that's the truth. I came to God. I was a Christian, don't get me wrong, but I was indifferent in my faith. I wasn't really practicing. You know, I don't want to say what boys do. But anyway, yeah, no more. And somehow I just came to a point where I knew I needed something. I needed someone to come rescue me from the pit that I was in. And I gave my life to Jesus. And I tell you, my life changed completely. Not the way I looked, the way I thought. I began to read the Word of God. And as I read, I began to see that there was a God somewhere who loved me, who loves me, regardless of how I perform in school. That His love is unconditional. That He looks at me and says, do you know what? I love you. I began to look at His promises for my life, where He says, my thoughts, my plans for you are good, not evil. Because for me, failing or doing badly in school was evil. It was the end of the world. And then you have God saying to me, my thoughts for you are good, not evil. You're going to get past this and you're going to do well. Subsequently, I also experienced delay in university. You're in school and things are not just going well. Things just look like they are taking too long. And then I looked in the Word of God, and God says to me, Philippians 1:6, He that has started a good work in you is faithful to finish it. That changed the way I saw my life. That made me realize that I had hope. You know, if God who created me says, I'm able to work out the best for you in life, you don't have to worry about now, just keep going, my plans, I'm going to finish what I'm doing in your life. That gave me hope. That removed worry. That changed my mental state. For any young person here in university, or anybody here who thinks life, it's not it's just working. God who has started a good work in you is able to finish it. I began to realize also that I was created perfectly by God. You see, when you lose your self-worth, even you hate the way you look. Young people today are under quite a lot of pressure about their physical appearance. But you know, I always say to them, Psalm 119, I am perfectly and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O God, and that my soul knows very well. I'm good looking. I'm smashing. Bald, dark, and handsome. Where'd that come from? But you know, you've got to come to a point where you realize that you are special before God. And that was what God did for me. It changed my outlook. It changed the way I saw myself. I'd walk into a room confident that, look, I've got God on my side. Who can be against me? This all happened mentally. My physical state didn't change. In fact, my situation didn't change completely, but my mind changed. And this for me is a really big deal, because where the mind goes, the head follows. The second thing God has done, the second area of my life where I've seen the goodness of God, is that He's been a help in time of trouble. Now, trouble is not losing to South Africa. Trouble is not, you know, we've got to pray for Kerry at the end of this. Trouble is not a bad microwave or, you know, your car's broken down. That's trouble, but, you know, there are levels of trouble. I mean, trouble, I'll give you an example of trouble. Trouble is waking up in the morning, going to the hospital, and the doctor says, you need an operation. That was me a couple of weeks ago. I just had surgery a couple of weeks ago. Trouble is being at home with your younger brother, and next thing you know, he's been kidnapped. That happened to me. My mom's here, so you can ask her. 1999. Kidnapped, taken away from the family. How do you deal with stuff like this when it happens? How do you deal with that? But my experience is this, that even in time of trouble, God has been faithful. 2017, I had a situation with my employers. I was unable to work. We had to go to court. In fact, I remember calling Colin Barnes, who's not here today, and saying to him, Colin, I need a miracle in 10 days. You know, God is so humorous. I asked for a 10-day miracle. It didn't happen in 10 days. It took a year for God to reverse the situation, but He reversed the situation. David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Friends, times will come in our lives when we would have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us here have sick children. Some of us here have wayward children, and we are wondering, what do I do here? I mean, so much trouble here with this kid. Where do I start from? You can be guaranteed that He who has started this work, the God who made that child, will see you through in the name of Jesus. How about deliverance? Some of you don't know here, but I've been married twice, actually, in a good way. So I had my marriage in the UK, and because I'm Nigerian as well, we had to go back to Nigeria for my wedding, another wedding. On our way back, there was a problem in the sky. I mean, imagine you're in this flight returning back to the UK and the plane is all acting up. What do you do? What did I do? I walked to the bathroom, looked in the mirror and said, God, just help us here. Sometimes that's all we can do. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. David said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard me. Sometimes all you can do in pain is just say, Lord, help me. I need help here. And be guaranteed, because he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I've got to repeat that again. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You can be guaranteed that God won't leave you. He won't forsake you. How about blessings and favor? Yeah, you can say amen to that. God's goodness, he has blessed me. He has favored me. You see, we talk about blessings. Everyone says, God bless you, God bless you. And sometimes we say it so flippantly in church. Do you really know what it means to be blessed? Seriously. Do you really know what blessing means? You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessings of God makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing is not the wealth. It's the blessing that makes the wealth. The blessing is an empowerment upon God's child to go out and be the best he can be in good times and in bad times. That is the blessing. The blessing is the hand of God upon a person that when you go into a room, you just know God is with me. I'm going to be favored. You've got to walk out of this room realizing to yourself, do you know what? I am blessed. I'm called to do good things. I can do all things through Christ who made me, because I'm blessed. It's an unseen force that comes upon, you know, the mind and the heart of a Christian. It's unseen. No one sees it. But you just know that God's hand is upon me. God's favor is upon me. God's touch is upon me. That if I leave this place, my story is different. A lot of times we compare ourselves with, you know, you hear news about, you know, something bad happened somewhere. And sometimes you say to yourself, well, that could be me. No, you are a child of God. You are the son of God. You are favored. You are called by God to do good things. And if he says he will never leave you or forsake you, then you've got to leave this place saying to yourself, I am blessed. I am empowered to do good things. That is the blessing. So if you've got the good car, and you've got the nice house, and you've got the good job, that isn't the blessing. That's just a sign of the blessing. And if you're going through problems, you've got a sick child, or you've got some sort of disease in your body, you shouldn't be thanking God for that, but you should be saying to God, I know I'm blessed, because even in this situation, I'm going to come out of it stronger. I can still stand here, even while living with pain and sickness and disease and uncertainty. Even then, I can still trust God and stand strong in his faith. Thessalonians says, be thankful for God in all things, not for all things. I'm not going to thank God for sickness, but I can thank God in sickness and say to the Lord, I know I am blessed. So part of my encouragement to us today is, do not live here thinking you're ordinary. You're not ordinary. Seriously. You're not ordinary. You are blessed. And I can tell you of God's blessings over my life. I've seen God's favor in so many ways, with my business, with my job, with my work, with my wife, with my mom, with my dad, with my brother. I've seen God's mercies and God's favor. You go somewhere, you go have a meeting, and someone says, well, you don't really deserve this, but I'm just going to give it to you. That's called favor. That's it. That's called favor. And you have that because you're a child of God. And even when things are bad, even when things are not going well. In 2007, I had an accident, a motor accident, that kept me in the hospital for a long time. And I remember I was on the hospital bed, right? I couldn't see. And I could hear my mom praying, just praying. My mom is here, so it's a bit embarrassing. I'm almost going to call. It's a bit emotional for me. But I remember my mom just saying, you're going to live. You're not going to die. She was praying for me. And I came out of that stuff, and I thought even then that life wasn't, I've lost time, I've been in hospital. Friends, look, God is not held back by time. God is not held back by time. He created the universe and stepped out of it and said, well, that's the universe. He stepped out of it and said, I'll orchestrate what I need to do here. You just don't worry about that. So I have seen the blessings and favor of God through my life. So in these three areas of my life, and I can talk about so many other areas, my health, my family, growing up, my younger brother, my immediate younger brother, actually, we went to boarding school. He was the only one that didn't go to boarding school because he was sick. And no one knew why he was sick. He'll just be sat here like that, and his body will start swelling up. And no one understood why this was happening to this boy. And at a point, you know, everyone thought he was going to die. The same person today is married, doing well, fantastic job. He's a doctor, treating people and changing lives. That is the favor of God. Having said all of that, I would now like to talk about what happens when things go wrong. Now, this one's going to be pretty hard to talk about. Epicurus, the guy here, Greek philosopher, he says, is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he's not omnipotent. Is he able but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil? That's the question of the world today. If there's a good God, why is there so much evil? If God is good, why is there evil? He then goes ahead to say, is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God? Why call him God if he's not going to stop evil from happening? He's incompetent. He's incompetent. Now, that's the argument of people who do not believe in God. That's the argument of unbelievers. He's incompetent because you can't be a good God and live in an evil world. Now, I'm not going to go into the philosophy of all of this stuff. And if you want that discussion, I can have it with you all day. But here's what I'm going to say. Epicurus is wrong. Okay? He is wrong. Because even in spite of all the evil in the world, we still need a good God. So what do we do when evil happens? What's our reaction? How do we survive in a world where there's so much uncertainty? Brexit uncertainty. For some of us who are self-employed, we don't know what's going to happen with Brexit. What do we do? What do you do when you have surgery and the sickness comes back again? What do you do? Friends, I've learned just one thing. I'm not going to come here and try to say to you, you know, it'll be good, it'll work out. I'd rather go back to the Word of God and see what God says. Because I've learned by experience that holding on to the Word of God has kept me through till today. Getting through university, doing my MSc, my PhD, it's just been the Word of God. I've had to just look through, churn through the Word of God for answers to questions. So what I'm going to do is look at three areas, three assurances from the Scriptures that perhaps can hold us and keep us even when we go through trouble. The first one is from 1 Corinthians. Paul says here, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. Look at someone and say, God is faithful. Look at someone and say, God is faithful. It's an instruction. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Friends, you can bear it. Honestly, look, in 2017, when I had issues with my company, I thought I was never going to survive that thing. You know, I started thinking, how am I going to feed my wife? We had a baby due. You know, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to survive without a job? But the Bible actually says that God is faithful and that we can actually bear it. He then says, when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Sometimes when you go through trouble, it might be a word from someone that just gives you peace for that day. I don't know if anyone has experienced that before. You're just having a bad day and someone just says something to you and all of the nonsense just goes away like that. That's God working somehow, even in the trouble. This scripture is so important because it makes us understand that God is so faithful that he won't allow us to go through something we cannot bear. God understands our potential. I've got a 2-year-old daughter. I'm not going to give her my car to drive. I'm not going to try that. That would be foolishness. I'm not going to give her algebra. That would be stupid. But I can give her a sheet of paper and a crayon to paint and draw. She can handle that. So our confidence in the faithfulness of God is that no matter what I go through, God knows I can handle it. I don't care what it is. Trust me, this is hard for me to even say. But God knows this guy can handle it. I'm going to be with you. The second assurance we can hold on to is this one. This one's my favorite. Romans 8:35-38. I'm going to just read through it. He says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Does it mean that God does not love me if I face calamity, if I face imminent death? Or are persecuted, or are hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? Many of us here will never be threatened with death. We might come close with sickness. Does it mean God does not love us? That's kind of similar to the question Epicurus was asking. Paul then says, no. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. When I went through stuff in 2017, the confidence I had each day, and my wife is here, you can ask her. Colin would be a good person to talk to. Each time Colin and I spoke, I would just say to Colin, I know God loves me. He'll work it out. That's all you can hold on to sometimes. God loves me. Because you have no answers to the question. You can ask, why is this sickness on my body? Or why is my child acting this way? You're not going to get answers. The only thing you can hold on to really is, well, God loves me. He says, and I am convinced that nothing, absolutely nothing can ever separate us from God's love. This is the interesting part. Neither death nor life. Not even if I die. Nor angels, nor demons. Neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Even your fears, your concerns, your worry. What am I going to do if I fall sick? What am I going to do if I lose my job? All of those concerns, none of that separates you from God's love. None of that stuff. Brexit or no Brexit, it doesn't separate you from God's love. God still loves you. He says, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky, above or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The last part is significant. It's absolutely significant because all of this happens because of our unity with Christ. I can go through suffering because Christ suffered as well. In fact, he suffered so much that he created a word for him, excruciating from the cross in Latin. So my confidence is if Jesus died and suffered, I've got a chance here. I've got more than a chance, actually. Finally, the third one. 2 Corinthians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. When do you need compassion? When things aren't great. Isn't it? And the God of all comfort. When do we need comfort? When things are not great. When you're down, when you're low, when you're ill, when you're crying. Oh, sorry, hang on. That's the right one, yes. Who comforts us in all our troubles. So God knows we would go through trouble. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you would suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Assuming that we wouldn't go through trouble in this world is a big deception. We would have troubling times. Here's the interesting bit about the scripture. He then says, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Sometimes we go through trouble and come out of it so that we can also comfort other people. There are people here who are going through tough times financially, ill health, you know, difficulty with a kid at home, a difficult time with an employer, and you might have gone through it. Part of our duty is to comfort others. Seek them out. Don't be shy. And I'm saying this again. Do not be shy to ask questions. Walk up to someone. I hear so-and-so is happening to you. How are you? You know, I've also been through this myself. And I tell you, God will see you through. I tell you, that's enough. In 2017, I was going through a tough time. And my wife, I don't know if Simi will remember this. And I remember I made a phone call to a guy, one of these people you want to talk to about, you know, business and stuff. And I said to the guy, look, here's the situation with my employers. And this guy was a Kiwi. I don't know his name. But after my discussion with that guy, I left feeling like God had just spoken to me. I don't know his name, even till today. He went on about, you know, I can't do the Kiwi accent, but, you know, it was all, God, you know, just calm down. It's going to work out. It's going to be all right. At that time, that was what I needed. So when we go through trouble and come out of it, part of our course then is to seek out others who are going through the same thing and comfort them and help them. Hold their hands. Walk with them. Put you, because you can empathize. It'll be stupid of me to talk to you about childbirth. Won't it? I can't understand it. I have seen it before, but I can't understand the pain of childbirth. I can't empathize. When my wife was having Zoe, all I could do was say, oh, sorry, baby. But that's all, yes, all you can do as a guy, really. But another woman can empathize because you've been through it, right? So when people here in this house, in this church, have issues, let's not shy away and just send text messages. I'm not saying we shouldn't send them. We should send text messages. But once in a while, go to them. How are you? I have been through this. Pray with them. Hug them. Hold them. Comfort them. That is our purpose when we go through trouble. I'm going to invite Maddie now. And I'm just going to finish with this as Maddie comes up. James says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. And is anyone amongst you happy or merry? Let them sing songs of praise. To my mind, this talks of an exchange. If you're here and you feel good, life's all great and fine and stuff, sing psalms to your fellow brothers and sisters who are going through stuff. Pray with them. Encourage them. Be a friend to them. And as we do this, we would see the goodness of God.